I just dropped one that looked kind of like an Andalusian bull. I mean, shape and color.
So maybe that should be
I think we have our cold open for this episode.
Would I shit an Andalusian bull cigar?
Yeah.
Toro, I assure you. At least one end. Where's your toenail clippers, Helena?
My toenails don't need clipped tonight. I did that yesterday.
Can you even podcast and not cut your toenails?
We're about to find out.
Find out. I'm Charles Breton.
I'm Helena Epstein.
And I'm Chris Henson. Together we are
a Jew
and
a Gentile walking to
a bar
mitzvah.
Welcome into episode 109 of the podcast where you come to find your theology, cigars, whiskey, and F-bombs. Our podcast is now available on Stitcher and iTunes and Apple Podcasts. You can also find us at Theology Corner, theologycorner.net. And we are very proud to be part of the Wild Goose Cast Network, a network of faith-based podcasts discussing issues of inclusion and social justice. To learn more about the Wild Goose Festival, go to wildgoosefestival.org. And before we get into any other mishigas, we want to acknowledge our sponsors. Thank them very much. Men of the Beard Beard Oil, Virgil Cane Whiskey, which we learned a couple of episodes cannot be used as a personal lubricant.
Only if you're in recovery.
Yep. Four Saints Brewing Company in Asheboro, North Carolina.
We didn't discuss if that could be a personal lubricant, but I wouldn't want to waste that on.
No. Top Leaf Cigar Lounge, the premier lounge in Winston-Salem.
I was there Sunday.
You were there Sunday.
I was the only guy back there in Byron's office. This one other gentleman was watching a 1970s blaxploitation film. And right. I think I made him as uncomfortable as like watching porn with your parents. And I didn't say a damn word, but I didn't recognize him. He wasn't one of the regulars and nobody clued him in that I'm there often.
Sounds like a blast.
Yep. Didn't help that I pointed out Pam Grier was from Winston-Salem. I didn't put any salve on it.
Too bad.
Some salve
for that. They're not a sponsor, by the way.
Who?
Anybody who makes salve.
Nobody. Yeah. I mean, beard oil is as close as you can get to a salve on our list.
Now, that's a personal lubricant you probably could use and not break your recovery thing.
Right. That might work. That might work. Yeah. You know, just don't get
the one with clover and ginger and it might sting a bit.
Yeah, or fucking
that she cut out first time tonight. Look at her, she's still talking. We can't hear you.
We can't hear a damn thing you're saying.
She's
doing that. We'll talk about Imagine That, the place for all crafty things. Their Etsy store is now open. Check them out, make some wonderful stuff. And
yeah, she's doing these t-shirt quilts.
Yeah, they're cool.
She's back. Look at that.
Dude, I don't know what's going on. I thought it was the cats, but it's not the cats.
And there it is. First pet reference of the night.
Yeah.
Right.
This is unfair, though, because Charles didn't have any pets to interrupt him.
No.
We should give him a dog.
Mine have left the house.
Charles would need a cat. What are you talking about, a dog?
Really?
Charles is a cat, man.
I need an American bull terrier.
Everybody needs an American Bull Terrier.
Yeah.
You like the whole Spuds McKenzie thing or more General Patton?
No. Well, that's the technical name for a pit bull.
You want an American Staffordshire Terrier?
Yes.
Well, they're called American Bull Terriers.
It's two different dogs, man. Yeah.
The ones that people train to fight and things like that people generally call pit bulls, they're American Bull Terriers.
I disagree.
Okay.
I think Spuds is McKenzie dogs.
Y'all, you're going to get me Googling shit.
Yeah.
And we're not even
wasn't going to happen.
I know. We're not that far into the conversation.
Yeah. Well, while
you would want a pit bull? What would you name the pit bull?
I don't know. I haven't thought yet. I did think for a while I was going to get a rescue greyhound.
Oh, God.
And I was going to name it Achilles. And that's because one of the
keep going
staffs for Achilles is the Swift Runner. Mm-hmm. And then I could walk down the street with it and just say, heal, Achilles, heal.
You know how many times I've heard that joke. I feel
like you just have to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like the right name for a pit bull is probably like Bartholomew. I don't know.
Yeah.
Wait. Well, it's going to have to be a male.
Well,
I mean,
yeah.
Gail's not going to, she's the alpha. Let's just go ahead and say that.
And not the last time we had a dog, she wasn't.
Really?
Oh, man, that dog had her trained.
I can actually
Which
see
one
that.
Was this? Was this?
This was
Gail's
TJ.
So accommodating, right? Like,
yeah,
Gail's.
Yeah, this was the.
Was this Evan or Lee? Which one are we talking about now?
No, we're talking about DJ.
You had a dog named DJ?
Yeah, Don Jr. Because the owner of the mother was. Named Don, and he had a beautiful Rottweiler, and somehow a Springer Spaniel got her pregnant.
There she go. Look, she's off again.
Yeah. So this was a gorgeous dog. You know, it had the body shape of a spaniel, but it had the shoulders and head of a Rott, but a little bit longer in the snout. White with a black saddle and mask. And
I agree with that statement about Helena, actually.
Which part? The black saddle or the mask?
The black saddle and mask? There's some shit you don't need to know about, man.
That's
something you don't want to know about you. Well, what we do want to know is what's everybody smoking. So, Helena, what are you smoking?
All right, so I've got one of the new Viaje Ghost Peppers.
Ooh, that's a good one.
It was a good one. It's a Honduran cigar, actually. And, you know, with the name like Ghost Pepper, I expected it to be like super spicy, but it wasn't. It had some pepper notes for sure, but a lot of like cinnamon and chocolate, a little bit of earthy salt. It was a nice smoke, even smoke. It got a little peppery near the end, like the last two thirds, but... It was a really delicious cigar. I enjoyed it. I mean, Viaje is always good. Mm-hmm. But again, like I said, I expected it to be like spicy. And
Viajes are. Or most of the ones that I smoke are.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and it definitely had like a peppery taste to it, but it wasn't nearly like the spice bomb I was expecting with a name like Ghost Pepper. Again, if it had been called, you know... Well, they have a jalapeno, but I was expecting it to be more bam than it was. But really, it actually did have a fair like amount of chocolatey notes and spice, but not like pepper spice, just kind of a spicy tone. Mm. But yeah, it was good. That's what I got.
Chris?
So I, Sunday while at Top Leaf Cigar Lounge, making people feel awkward during rewatching the movie Coffee, I had the Southern Drawl Rose of Sharon, had the Perfecto. Mm-hmm. Also may have picked up some of the exclusive ones that Bethany brought back from her recent trip to Nicaragua.
Oh,
I do not have the Trucker Jeff, and no, do I want to stick the Trucker Jeff in my mouth. I did feel that he could have called the cigar shit the bed, but he also said, yeah. Now, you know, nobody's sticking that in their mouth either.
Well, he could have just called it STB.
It's still bad. I'm not with it. So it's a U.S. Connecticut shade wrapper. It's a Claro, you know. Nicaraguan binder and Dominican Ligero and Nicaraguan filler. And it's just a light smoke. And I kind of wanted something different. I usually don't go for the Connecticut shade and the Claro wrappers. This had a lot of pepper. It had sweet profile to it, creaminess, just a very mellow, but it was still good. It wasn't like nothing there, but such a change from what I usually smoke or look for. And I wanted something different. Floral notes. Not particularly peppery, at least not the major taste that you get from it. So it was good. Smoked well, good. Well constructed. And I don't think I'd had that one in the in that line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've had that one. That's a nice one. They do have a little bit more body behind that Connecticut than you get in a lot of cigars.
It is. It's not as I would kind of liken it to Undercrown in the sense of it's just a well-made cigar. That on the front end, you know, if you're that full-bodied, medium to full-bodied smoker, might turn your nose up at it. But I was like, you know, I need something different here. Mm-hmm. And they had featured it on their Instagram feed, and I was like, oh, there we go.
Oh, advertising. It works.
Advertising.
Advertising works. Imagine
Who'd
that.
Who'd guess?
Imagine that.
Imagine
Available
that.
At her Etsy site.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
She's making t-shirt quilts. This is where I was going for Helena went like ape shit going trying to find stuff. That like she takes old t-shirts from like you know, kids have from all the events and they outgrow and she stitches them together and make a quilt.
It's yeah,
you can. I mean, you know.
I've seen people when I was working hospice, I knew people that would do that when their loved ones passed. Another really cool thing people would do was tie quilts. Where they would make like a starburst pattern, like with people's old ties, and work it into a quilt, you know, which was really kind of cool too. But I guess, making them out of your kids' stuff is a little less dark, but.
I was just trying to throw the business Natalie's way. It was like, if you got somebody dying and you want to make a quilt of their like whatever's. Imagine Nats could be your person.
Imagine Nats could totally be your person, and she'll do as a bang up job of it.
Yeah, as long as they put the lotion on.
I swear to God, puts the lotion on its skin.
Oh, God, that's so.
You know what? If it was made for a hospice patient, I feel that it should be a weighted blanket, much like grief. It just kind of
holds you down.
Holds you down.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hard to get out from under. All
right. And on that segue, I'm smoking a Fonseca Nicaragua, and it has a Criollo 98 Oscuro wrapper from Jalapa region. The binder is also Nicaraguan from Jalapa. The filler is Nicaraguan long leaf from Esteli and Ometepe. It's made by our good friends at Casada Cigars. Andy Casada, shout out.
What is he an alumni of? What? So that was being picked up earlier.
Miami High?
North Carolina State.
Oh, okay.
Manny's a wolf pack. Part of the pack.
Yes, he is. But he turned out okay.
Right. Well, I was glad that Duke didn't give up winning for Lent. I may have offended some fellow alums with reminding them that the only swag I wanted hangs on my wall in a frame. So,
yeah. So this is a very nice, earthy, leathery, the sweet from the earth and leather, just a hint of pepper enough to get the back palate. And I ordered these online because you may not be able to do that for very much longer.
Why is that?
Because the FDA and Congress is looking to outlaw all online tobacco sales.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So I got this. It's actually from a shop down in Florida in Miami. And these are beautifully aged. Because the Oscuro wrapper is so oily. The cellophane wrapper is so dark. The cigars look like they're encased in amber. So they've been sitting on the show. The cigar came out in 2016. And I have a feeling that these are some of the ones from 2016. With just how... much of that oil has gone onto that cellophane sleeve, but it's a lot of smoke. It's smooth. It's sweet, and like I said, just that hint of pepper on the back. Very enjoyable.
Sounds very enjoyable.
It is, and it's even better when you have your nice smoking jacket on.
Have you always had that jacket? This is the first time I've seen it.
I've worn it at your house when we've smoked.
Really?
Yeah. We were sitting out in the fall, so I brought my smoking jacket.
Now,
Helena, you are my witness. He never pays attention to anything I wear.
I know. For someone who's so detail-oriented, how does he miss this shit? I don't even know.
Well, he never pays attention to me. He doesn't listen to a thing I say. You know, and I could wear the same thing three times, and we go, oh, is that new?
Is that new?
Yeah, we're just such a dysfunctional...
You know, I can't fucking talk because the office administrator at my job, who is a godsend every day, all the time, like the other day I was totally like, oh my gosh, I love your haircut. She was like, I got it cut like a month ago, Helena. And I was like, oh, well, it's lovely.
Well,
like,
when he says smoking jacket, I always think, you know, Gomez Adams, Hugh Hefner. This thing looks like he's fucking Elmer Fudd. I mean,
well, it is. It's from Duluth Trading, and it's a Pendleton design.
Wabbit season. I'm so glad we did this. This is Duluth Trading smells. Smells a smoky.
Yeah. They did it one time. Yes.
What is happening right now? I don't even understand. I don't know.
Is that in the barbecue section of that store?
Ooh,
it's beautiful. Does it have a Marlboro logo on the back?
No, it's wool. It's got really nice deep pockets and
pockets.
Really nice. Yeah.
Did I tell you about?
I lost one of my pipe tools. Yeah, pipe, those did, things. Yeah. I had to go through all the different things there. One of my pipe tools, because I haven't worn this jacket in a while. When I put it on, I put my hand in my pocket, and I found my missing pipe tool.
Imagine that.
See, imagine that. Imagine that. Could get a smoking jacket made into a quilt.
Oh, my God. I bet you could.
Or a quilt made into a smoking jacket.
That'd be weird.
Probably do that, too.
So I need to go back to Jeff and Stacy and pick up one of my pipe lighters. Mm-hmm. I realized I gave them not one, but all of them.
Oh.
And, I figured out why I haven't been able to smoke a pipe successfully.
Okay, so what's
much
the deal?
Like, much like that? Charles taught my daughter, who is Vietnamese, how to eat with chopsticks. I realized that the whole time, that whole packing it, you know, a third really loose, a third firmer, and a third really tight, I was doing it in reverse with the loose stuff on the top. Mm. When you do it the other way, way Charles taught me, that fucker stays lit.
It works.
It's amazing when it's loose on the bottom. All that air, it actually moves under the tobacco.
Well, I thought it was weird as hell, but I'm like, you know, shit.
Well, you know.
Enjoyed a nice Cavendish with it a few days ago.
Ah, yeah, I've got a nice English blend that I've been enjoying. It's Peterson's Hyde Park. It's got a little bit more Virginia in it, so it's got a nice old spice to it.
I affirm your right to have a pit bull. I think that would be the perfect... I mean, you have to get one of these, like, old rescue dogs. Like one of these,
exactly.
Fuck it, man. I'll sit in the old, is it, the basketball or football chair you used to have?
Right, okay, yeah.
I'm just happy not to be being beaten daily by other dogs.
Yep. Oh, no, I'm totally for that.
What would you name it? Go ahead.
I haven't thought about it. The only reason we haven't done it yet is that we just love being empty nesters.
Yeah.
Why are we? No, because then they die.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, you don't get attached.
You do. Hospice dog.
That's a thing.
It's not even 6 months or less, because in their time, it's like 2 weeks.
Actually, it is a thing, because when my dad was in hospice, several of the volunteers came in with their dogs. I was trying to make it nice.
Just
how is it not nice to give a dog, like a sweet little old dog, a home for its last couple
years? You could take it for a drag around the neighborhood every day. Well, it's not be able to walk at that point. Yeah. Maybe put in a little wagon, kind of drive.
Yeah, but then I'd have to see you more often, because he'd insist you'd be the chaplain.
Yeah, you'd have to be the
He's not going to
chaplain be hospice dog.
That's right. All right, put in a commercial there. Four Saints Brewing Company. Four Saints pays homage to the patron saints of beer, Saint Wenceslas, Saint Nicholas, Saint Luke, and Saint Augustine of Hippo. They've become the most recognized patron saints for brewing and beer because of their contributions to and associations with the world's favorite sudsy beverage. Four Saints founders Joel McCloskey and Andrew Deming are carrying on the brewing tradition in hopes of future sainthood, or at least to make some really good beer. Four Saints Brewing Company, Asheboro, North Carolina. And we're back. We've hopefully collected ourselves, but I doubt it very, very seriously.
I'm a what?
You're a hell of an advertisement for cigar smoking.
I had the flu like 2 weeks ago, and this cough still hasn't cleared up.
There are coal miners with black lung that are sounding
Dude, this is better than it was. This is better than every house I go into. I'm like, I'm not sick. I swear I'm not going to infect your child.
It's like Linda Richman is now a part of the podcast. Barbara, I give you a topic. It's either that or it's Harvey Firestein. I can't tell who she's channeling tonight.
Either one.
Well,
I'll give you a topic. Industrial Revolution, neither industrial nor revolutionary. Discuss.
Discuss.
You got me all clumped.
All right, enough of this Michigan. What are we talking about?
Lost on you, Helena?
Hell yeah, it was. I'm fucking millennial, dude.
That's Mike Myers, man. That's Saturday Night Live.
See, and
you tell them the kids today.
Kids today. I don't know. Now, the problem is you Gen Xers. It's not the millennials.
Well, Gen Xers, we're in a unique position. We hate both of you.
I know. That's why Helene and I get along so well.
Is right? That right?
Yeah.
We're united in a common cause.
How can you be angry with Gen X? We're just like, just leave us the fuck alone. That's it.
That's a pussy response to everything.
Yeah. My daughter asked me, did you go to daycare? Yeah, it's called Deadbolt. Jesus. I'm sorry, man. Latchkey kids.
I was a latchkey kid. Yeah. Who do you think invented it?
I don't know.
Boomers.
I mean, I went. Never mind. I don't even want to talk about my childhood. Keep on going.
Keep on going. Keep All on right. going. So we're doing something a little different at the suggestion of the Gentile Xer.
Well,
not the ex-Gentile, but ex-Genter. And that is
he's truly a Gen Xer, right?
Yeah, that's right. Truly
the Gentile Xer.
That sounds like a laxative.
Well, excuse me?
I mean, it does sound like a laxative, but that's also appropriate.
Yeah,
truly.
If you had used that prior to our starting recording, this episode might have gone better.
Oh, it went fine.
Speaking of which, when I was weighing in at cardiac rehab, I was up a few pounds, and the nurse asked me, when was the last time I had a bowel movement? I said, well, it's been a couple of days. And she said, well, I guess that means you're constipated. And I said, oh, is that just a polite way of you telling me I'm full of shit? And she said, yeah.
Yeah.
But when you have one of those poops where your pants fit better, I mean.
Oh yeah. Well, I posted on Twitter, and no one's accepted the challenge yet. I'm doing Daf Yomi, which is reading a page of Talmud today. And we're in the book that talks about the various prayers. And I put up there that I still think the greatest blessing ever is the one where thank God for making us with
all the right holes.
All the right holes that open and close when they should. And because they didn't, we couldn't live.
I know. I love that prayer.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
And
you say it every time you go to the bathroom. Man.
Because haven't you just had one of those shits where it's just like, oh, thank you, God.
I'm just happy.
Thank you that this works, because I could not have walked another minute.
You know, that
world.
Prayer didn't mean as much to me until I became a nurse. And like, when that shit doesn't work,
literally,
it is worth praying about. Like, it is
worth,
worth praying about if you can piss and shit without having to think about it.
Right. Or you're driving home from someplace where you've had dinner, it's about a 20-minute drive, and you have really got to piss. And I stop or do I just? I'm just 10 minutes from the house,
where I can pee where I'm comfortable.
Right, that's another one. Oh, so I put the hashtag change my mind, and no one has taken the challenge.
I'm glad.
Well, because there you can't argue with it.
I agree.
You can't.
There's nothing to argue about.
But Chris is going to try.
I'm just glad to have one or two bowel movements that don't require me wearing a sweatband on my head and drinking a Powerade to get through it. I'm at the age now where
power,
I don't trust
through it. The age now.
I'm at the age now. I don't trust farts. I don't trust farts. And getting a little action can just mean I pooped today.
I had my workout. Yeah. Sweat it out, Chris. Sweat it out.
How do you think I got these 6-pack abs?
For this disgusting umbilical hernia that I'm in.
Well, I think we've got a no hashtag.
Dad, is that your intestines? Yes, they are.
Pack poop abs.
6-pack poop abs.
I think that's our no contact. No context.
The fuck is this?
That's so fucking absurd.
She has not been out of the house in a few days, has she?
I haven't talked to you all for a little while.
That's okay. You laugh. Okay.
Okay. Give me another topic. Moving on. All right. Let me get it together.
Yeah. Oh. So.
Well, I thought, let's get back to the topic.
Yeah, go ahead. Back to the topic. Story slam. Go ahead.
I knew we were going to do this kind of story slam. I'm a big fan of the Moth podcast. And if you haven't checked, if you really want a good podcast to listen to, stop listening to us. That's a great start.
Yeah, the Moth is amazing.
And they actually have events in Asheville, I believe it was on Thursdays, where they do a Moth live stage. but it's not always connected with the podcast, but it's the same format and genre and stuff. And it, my wife and I went one time and it was really fun. But, you know, there's plenty in the news between politics and Super Tuesday. It's Lent. Goodness gracious. Coronavirus. I mean, that's why I wore my plague doctor mask to start this podcast. We'll put pictures up. But I thought, I didn't have a lot of energy behind current events and just was kind of wanting, what about just more of something, a different format for us for once?
Yeah.
And Charles put up a Twitter poll, which we had a whopping, looks like five people.
Yeah.
Which was at least three of those was us. But
I didn't vote.
I didn't
okay,
vote.
Okay, one of us. So four independent people not directly involved with this podcast that we're aware of. And it was conversion, repentance, and
redemption.
Redemption. I think redemption was Helena's, or was that yours?
That was mine.
No, I went Lenti with repentance.
Well, conversion won because, although there's probably a connection to all three, and we can certainly revisit all of them.
Yeah.
And just kind of doing a general, tell a story, and we can set kind of a time limit.
Cause well, I have the rules right here.
Okay, go ahead.
Oh, we have rules.
Oh, yeah, there are rules.
If anybody's going to have the rules.
That's right.
Right.
So Jew.
I live a lawless life, Charles. I need some
smoking
jacket parameters.
So the stories must be personal, first-person narrative, and from your life experience. Stories must be told without notes, props, costumes, or musical instruments. Your story must relate to the theme, which is conversion, and you get 5 minutes with a one-minute warning. And I've got the timer set up since it's Purim. You guys want to draw lots?
Well, yeah, but hold on. Have I told my conversion story on this podcast?
Maybe we give it like 10 minutes or something.
I mean, I can tell it in five. I'm just asking if I have.
You don't have to tell parts of it, so you don't have to like go through the whole thing, but just one particular thing just has to relate to the topic in some way.
Right. I just like there's really only one large moment for me that relates to the word conversion, but I can't remember if I've talked about it on here. I don't want to like rehash.
No, I don't think you have.
Okay. Cool.
So
and if you have, if that's your story tonight, then rehash.
Okay.
All right. And I will
start it out. I just wanted to check.
I will start the timer when you begin.
All right. Well, draw our lots.
Well, why don't you go first?
No, I thought you were going to draw lots.
Well, I was making a Purim joke.
It was a Purim joke, but
yeah.
All right, no, Chris goes first. Ready, set, go.
So it was the summer of 1999, and I had finished 1 year of formal theological education. So, of course, I thought I knew everything. I was super duper. Nothing else. You could experience nothing else. And my wife that summer, well, she wasn't my wife that summer. She got us tickets to when Rent came to Charlotte. And so we went to the play, and for those of you who don't know, it's basically sort of a rock opera that's loosely based on Puccini's La Boheme.
Mm-hmm.
And it involves persons that are LGBTQ, and there are some people that were considered straight, many of them living with HIV/AIDS in New York City, and I want to say circa late 80s, 90s. I'm not really sure when the playwright set it, but it kind of looked that era. And, you know, I was made aware and had a big conversion because previously LGBTQ was just kind of a series of letters. You know, I grew up with a neighborhood that we had plenty of different races, and I knew what not to say in front of people of color that I heard in my own home and all that. But when it came to the biggest insult you could throw out on the school ground and the playground was to call somebody gay or worse, even more derogatory terms than that. And so that was my frame of reference, you know. And then college, yeah, I had a few friends that were actually in high school, like knew a couple guys that hadn't come out. They went to my church, but they were kind of over there and I was over here. And then in college, I did have some friends that were lesbians, but it was kind of just this, we didn't hang out all that much, but I felt like I was this super inclusive person. And in all honesty, I was not. I still very much othered people like that. And I'm not proud of that. So we go to this play and you get into it because it's catchy music. And there's this one couple. There's Tom Collins and his partner who dresses up in drag as a woman, but also identifies as a man, Angel. And I have to admit that at first that made me feel really uncomfortable for some reason. I don't know why. It didn't matter if the two women that were lesbian couples didn't bother me, but the two guys, that really jarred me. And they're playing, they have this song when they meet where they sing that I'll cover you. You know, I'll be your shelter. I'll take care of you. And in the play, and I do have to look at the lyrics because it's just amazing. I want to do it justice. They're the most functional couple. And I'm there with my, you know, future wife. And we're watching this play. And towards the end of it, there's this pause where everybody that's been dating breaks up and are saying, it's over, it's over, it's over. And it sort of goes off simultaneously as each couple kind of gets a spotlight. Then it goes back to Collins and he says it's over and he's holding the corpse of Angel. She's passed due to HIV and AIDS complications. And then he just starts singing this really, he sings the reprise of this song, I'll Cover You. And I remember him singing it and I'm just overwhelmed. I'm crying. I am shattered. He sings, live in my house. I'll be your shelter. Just pay me back with 1,000 kisses. Be my lover and I'll cover you. Open your door, I'll be your tenant. Don't got much baggage to lay at your feet. But sweet kisses I got to spare. I'll be there and I'll cover you. And then this the song that's most well known with that musical kind of interrupts with 1,000 sweet kisses. You know, I'll cover you. And it just keeps going, and it just builds and crescendos.
1 minute.
And it ends with, you know, Tom singing, if you're cold and lonely, you've got only one nickel, when you're worn out and you're tired, when your heart has expired. And the conversion in that experience was that I'm bawling because I can get Tom and Angel's relationship now. And it's no different for me and my future wife. And I came away from that play a different person that was on the road to not othering people that identify as LGBTQ or intersex or anything else. You know, and it was definitely a journey after that. But as with all great art, it transports you from one place to another. And it was a definite conversion, sort of come to Jesus moment that I was so glad my wife had the presence of mind to get us tickets for.
And that's time. All right. Helena, you want to go or do you want me to go?
You can go.
Oh, good. I get to follow that.
You all had the chance to go first.
Yeah. Okay. And I'll start the timer. Now, first of all, you got to understand that I'm very apprehensive because I'm not a good storyteller and I have no concept of narrative structure. So be gentle, which by the way, when you post this, put a poll and people will vote as to who did it better. All right, here we go. I swear I'm a good father. At least I believe I am. When my oldest went to college, I helped him pack up, drove him down to New Orleans, got him everything he needed for college, moved him into his room, made sure that everything was cool, hung out with him for a couple of days during orientation, and came back. And it was great. It was great. Youngest son got ready to go to college. We packed him up, made sure he had everything, and his brother and I drove him out to Asheville. We stopped along the way because he forgot to get a rain jacket, so we bought him a rain jacket. We get to Asheville, we move him in. He realizes, like most of us, when you're packing, you forget something. He forgot his pillows. So we found the Walmart in Asheville, and we got him pillows and made sure he's moved in, had his bed set up, hung out with him for a few days for orientation, told him I loved him, have a great time in Asheville, and came home, pulled up in front of the house. Oldest son, Lee, and I went into Evan's bedroom, took his bed, and put it on the curb. I'm an I on the Myers-Briggs. I need my space. And for the 4 years we were living in our house, in our new house. He had his room. Gail had her office space. And I didn't have any place that was my own. So I had declared that when Evan goes to college, I get his bedroom as my space. So literally, Lee and I drove back from Asheville, and we took Evan's bed out of the bedroom and put it on the curb. Got my friend Chris Pennington, who's a wonderful electrician, now living in Myrtle Beach, came in the next day and installed an exhaust fan. Lee and I then moved to one comfortable chair at the time, and then a not-so-comfortable chair that my wife found. We've since moved out. And I converted my youngest son's bedroom into my smoking lounge. So he can't come home anymore because he has no bedroom, no place to stay, literally kicked him out of the house. And his room is now mine. That's why I can smoke while I'm podcasting. But I still think I'm a good dad, even though I converted my son's bedroom into my own personal space. I also do think that I'm married to an incredibly wonderful woman who allows me to smoke in the house now because I've got a really nice smoking lounge to do it. And that's my story, and I'm sticking with it.
I affirm that you're a great dad. That's evident.
I affirm that too. Okay. Yeah.
But that's what I've converted.
Not that you were fishing for that with that story, but I'm just...
No, I wasn't, but...
That's the affirmation I give you that.
Yeah.
So, that's evident with your sons.
Yeah. But, you know, it's not like he didn't know it was going to happen.
I enjoyed your conversion. Many people have enjoyed your conversion.
I've yes. enjoyed it too.
Yes.
Podcast right. started in that.
Yes, it did. On a folding table. Yay. Helena, are you ready for your close-up?
I'm ready.
Okay, I will start the timer. I'll give you a 1 minute when you're at 1 minute. And I'll start the timer when you start storytelling.
All right. So this is not the story I thought I was going to tell. I started drinking alcohol when I was 11 years old and went to Alateen and Al-Anon through most of my teens for family related issues with alcohol. And recognized probably for the first time that I had a problem when I was around 17 or 18, but insisted for years that I was not an alcoholic. I knew all the signs. I knew all the indicators. I knew all the checklists. And while if I'm being completely honest, I always checked enough of them to clinically have a problem, I would rationalize and justify why I was not an alcoholic for any number of reasons, mostly because I quote unquote knew better. Unlike a lot of people with addiction issues, I quit drinking initially on my own. I had a really rough spell right before my 31st birthday and recognized that my drinking had got some of the check boxes I had left unchecked for a number of years got checked pretty quickly. And I knew the indicators enough to know that I needed to stop. So I quit drinking the day after my 31st birthday. 31st birthday was the last time I had a drink. And I white-knuckled it by myself for a year. I didn't leave the house. I had no social life. I went to work. I came home. And I didn't drink. And that's all I did for that year. And over my 32nd birthday, I went on a 10-day silent retreat. And, you know, when you're alone with your thoughts, you're alone with your thoughts. There's not much space. And I recognized and realized that if I continued to isolate myself, I'd start drinking again. And second of all, I wasn't living a well life, right? I may not have been drinking, but I wasn't living my life to the fullest. So I decided to start going to AA because I recognized that I needed a community to stay sober. But pride's a bitch, and I could not stand up in a room full of strangers and say I was an alcoholic. I couldn't make myself do it. There was still a piece of me hanging on to, no, I'm different from these people. I'm different from these people. I'm different from these people. I'm not different from those people. Those people are me, right? So the moment of conversion for me was after having been sober for a year and 2 months, they invite you at the end of meetings to take a chip, right? That's a pretty common thing. You take a white chip in order to acknowledge your desire to work the program, and to participate in the 12-step process fully. And I'll never forget taking ownership of that, standing up in front of a room of 50 fucking strangers and taking a white chip, which most people do within the first week of sobriety, right? But I held out a long time and I cried, I bawled, just letting go of that sense of responsibility and ownership. And really recognizing in a way that I had intellectualized but hadn't internalized for years that community is what I needed in order to be healthy and well. And since then, that's spilled over into other parts of my life where I've allowed myself to be supported and cared for by other people in ways that I never had prior. So I thought that I was admitting defeat in that moment initially, but instead I was really opening myself to a whole host of possibility for relationship that I'd never allowed before.
Wow. Thank you.
Okay.
Was that silent retreat while we were working together?
It was.
All right. Well, we'll post on our Twitter when we post the link for this podcast, a poll. And if anybody wants to vote, maybe those four people who wanted conversion, as to who, quote, won the story slam.
I would just go with maybe just the question, if you enjoyed this, would this be something new to do? Yeah. I don't want to compare stories.
You're not comparing the stories. You're comparing the storytelling.
People won't see it that way, though.
Yeah, I don't.
Okay, all right, that's fine.
I think declaring a winner takes away from the genuineness of all three stories. Yeah. They came from a very vulnerable place, talking about very real things that people can convert through.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that none of them used an overtly religious, you know, model. You know, that saw the light, road to Damascus, road to Emmaus.
Well, yeah. Like I said, I was really, yeah. I really thought that that was the story I was going to tell until we were in the middle of it. And then I said, yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
Actually.
Yeah. Well, you know, convert has a lot of meanings. Mm-hmm. I mean, legally, it means to steal. Because you convert someone's property from its initial use to your own. So, you know, take it for what it is. I don't know if sure, we can ask people if they think this is something we should do from time to time, but I think this is something we should do from time to time.
Yeah, I like this model.
You know, I think we just keep asking people, you know, maybe start sending in some suggestions and, you know, do this every once in a while.
Bring in some ringers for a particular topic, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe do, you know, at least one a month. Like this.
Well, it just felt like, you know, we sort of jump on our best. I think our best podcasts is when we're somewhat prepared. We have some sort of working. At least for me, I like the ones where I have a working point to go with. I'm not as
comfortable. I think our best podcasts are the ones where we allow ourselves to be truly vulnerable. Yeah. And with certain topics, if we're talking topically, we sometimes keep it really intellectual.
Yeah, right. That's one of my defense mechanisms.
Oh, yeah. I think for all three of us, it's pretty high on the list of defense mechanisms.
Come by it naturally.
We're pretty bright people, and we use that to our advantage, right? Yeah,
and I'm a Lidfock. It comes naturally.
Yeah, it comes naturally to all of us. But I think, you know, being able to be vulnerable and to tell stories from our own perspectives is really a different quality.
Well, that is conversion, is stealing back your own humanity. Mm-hmm. Stealing back. Whether it's space or acknowledging past. I don't like the word sin. I don't think that's the case, but.
Well, where you've missed the mark.
Right.
To use the Jewish version of that term. Yeah.
Well, I feel mine was a kind of experience of repentance in the sense of turn and go another way. You know?
Yeah, that's how I think of it too.
Yeah. And I went with the physical.
That's still important. That's
converted a space from one use to another. Mm-hmm.
That's not insignificant. You just talked about like the empty nest experience. And while I know you love your cigar lounge, I am more than sure that that wasn't the easiest piece of furniture to carry to the roadside.
Mm-mm. Well, it wasn't as bad as it is now because he was 3 hours away. Now he's, you know, a 12-hour flight. So,
yeah,
you know, and that's a little tougher. So, yeah. Shall we go to
We forgot to plug something. Reminders, right. Which will make me get this out quicker. Next Tuesday.
Yes.
If I'm not mistaken, is... Yes.
Drinking religiously.
Drinking religiously.
And was it an error on your part that you marked that you're going?
I don't know. I was probably high or something.
Okay.
No.
Or maybe a post-ambient haze.
No, it could have been a post-tough shit haze.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get, you know, all that blood rushes out of your head. You know, the old Vigil response and you're lightheaded and you weren't thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, if you're going to be in Asheboro, anybody on the 10th of March, then come join us at 6 o'clock for Drinking Religiously. I believe Father Joe will be leading our discussion. And it's really,
when's the Ides of March? That's got to be
the 15th.
Okay. I didn't think that was quite yet.
No, that's the 15th. But
beware on that day.
Especially those of you whose name is Julius.
Yeah. Anyway, go ahead.
Anyway, but this Drinking Religiously is really coming nice. We've got a core group of about 8 people. And
getting up there to a minion.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Ways to go, but
you know, it's a good core group where they really look forward to it. There's a lot of fellowship with it because we're just exploring various theological, philosophical topics, and everyone is sharing. That's what I love, is we'll throw out whatever the beginning topic is, and it goes around the table. Everybody just gives their view, if they've thought about it before, or listening to someone, what now they comes to mind. And so everybody participates, and we've had some really, really nice discussions. So like I said, this month, it's the second Tuesday of every month at Four Saints Brewery in Asheboro. We thank them very much for the beer and the space. And if you're available and in the area, please join us. One thing, you know, that we've talked about, maybe we'll do it in April or May, is maybe go on a Sunday and record live down there.
That could be fun. Is that first and third Sundays of the month? I've got youth group, but otherwise,
okay, all right.
Second and fourth Sundays, I'm good.
Second and fourth. All right. You know, maybe we'll do our Wild Goose prep down there or something. Get used to being in front of a live audience.
With alcohol.
Instead of like we are now, sitting lonely in darkened rooms with alcohol.
I turned my lights on.
Oh, that's right, you did. And, well, I was referring to you and me. No.
After the one time I did mine in the dark and I creeped you guys the hell out, I've decided
to. It's like the fucking Blair Witch Project. Like, all you can see is your nose.
I know.
I've decided I should spare you all that and just turn the light on.
We appreciate it.
Words of wisdom.
Oh, and by the way, we forgot to plug something. We will be at Wild Goose.
We will be at Wild Goose.
Yes, we will Twisted be podcasting Sisters, during Happy and Twisted Sisters.
I didn't know that.
We'll be joining the GooseCast Network probably
next
month.
Becky, I need another tumbler. My kid broke mine.
I know.
She's terrible. An angry drunk. That's why she did it.
That's why she did it. She takes after her mother. You know? So, okay, words of wisdom. And again, just randomly chose this. This is from Robert Penn Warren, poet, novelist, and literary critic.
Oh, I was thinking it was the magician. But go ahead.
No.
That's Penn Robert, Gillette. Never mind. Go
Penn
ahead.
Gillette, yes. So Robert Penn Warren, a little background, he's from Kentucky. So I have to give that a little context there, that it makes this words of wisdom much wiser. And he once wrote that storytelling and copulation are the two chief forms of amusement in the South. They're inexpensive and easy to procure.
Well, I'm Chris Henson, and I'm still the Gentile.
I'm Helena Epstein, and I'm still the ampersand of reason.
And I'm Charles Breton, and I'm still the Jew.
Join us on our next episode, where you can listen to a Jew and a Gentile, walk into a bar mitzvah. Wishing I could change
the things that I... Special thanks to Ethan Sapphire for letting us use his song Shoulda Woulda Coulda as our theme. You can download Ethan's music at soundclick.com/Ethan Sapphire. Give back the hand if you didn't like the deal. You made your choices, you gotta live with that. If you learn from your mistakes, you'll get another chance at that.